This is KFSK's Midday Magazine for Tuesday, August the 13th. I'm Angela Denning. The Environmental Protection Agency has fined Core Alaska over $500,000 for failing to comply with environmental regulations at the Kensington Mine near Juneau. Over 200 wastewater violations were documented in a facility-wide inspection with the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation. Violations included the release of acid rock drainage into Lower Slate Lake and lapses in environmental monitoring, assessments, inspections, and trainings. In a statement, the EPA's Enforcement and Compliance Assurance Director, Ed Kowalski, said, "Core Alaska can and must do better in order to comply with our fundamental laws that protect people and the environment." As part of the settlement, Core Alaska is required to collect and treat acid rock drainage before discharging it into the Lower Slate Lake. According to a press release from the EPA, the state of Alaska modified Kensington's permits to allow the discharge of residual acid rock drainage into Lower Slate Lake starting August 1st. Representatives from Core Alaska and the Alaska Department of Natural Resources were unavailable for comment by broadcast time. Petersburg School Board will be considering new staffing positions and student testing results at a meeting tonight. The school board will be going over several new hires for the school year, including a contract for new kindergarten teacher Hillary Mullen. They'll consider approving some shuffling of teachers at the Ray C. Stedman Elementary School. Carrie Curtis is moving from kindergarten to first grade. Shannon Vandervest is moving from first grade up to the fourth grade. And former teacher aide Heidi Cabral is being hired as an elementary special education teacher. The board will also consider a one-year contract for Carla Green to teach fifth grade to take the place of Sarah Demms, who resigned. The board will consider approving extra duty contracts for 10 people, which are mostly coaching contracts. At the meeting, Superintendent Erica Klutpainter will give an overview of the district's PEAKS scores, which stands for Performance Evaluation for Alaska Schools. That's the student assessment the state has been using for the last couple of years. The school board will hear the monthly accounting report, and there will be administrative reports from the superintendent, the principals, the activities director, and the maintenance director. Before the meeting starts, there will be a food service renovation project tour that starts at 5:30 p.m. Facilities and Maintenance Director Dan Tate will lead a walking tour of the renovations happening at both the elementary school cafeteria and the middle and high school cafeteria. The tour will start at the main entrance to the Stedman Elementary School, and again, that's at 5:30. The school board meeting starts at 6 p.m. in the middle and high school library. KFSK will broadcast it live. Also, stay tuned to Campus Connection, a call-in show with school board officials that'll be following the Midday Magazine at about 12:30. The Sitka School Board last week approved contracts for 18 non-tenured teachers, all of whom were pink-slipped last spring, pending the outcome of a financial tug-of-war between the legislature and the governor. But with less than 2 weeks until the school starts, five new hires in Sitka remain without contracts, and the legislature and the governor, meanwhile, have taken their dispute to court. That leaves Sitka schools scrambling to figure out how to open this month, with large gaps in the middle school schedule and possibly much larger classes in the elementary grades. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports from Sitka.
What's at stake is a $30 million one-time appropriation by the legislature for all schools across the state for the coming school year, passed last year and signed by former Alaska Governor Bill Walker before he left office. Current Governor Mike Dunleavy, however, believes that so-called forward funding is illegal, and he's drawn his line in the sand between this $30 million appropriation and Alaska's school children. Governor Dunleavy's legislative history with education funding as a former state senator and former school superintendent is well known, and the Sitka School District anticipated that there would be conflict over this money, but it also anticipated that there would be compromise. So the board last spring assumed that the legislature and governor would settle on half, and $15 million would be distributed across the state for schools this year. That didn't happen, leaving schools in budget limbo. In Sitka, the local share of that $15 million is $151,000. That's revenue the district was planning on, but just isn't there anymore. Sitka hasn't filled five teaching positions for next year, District Superintendent Mary Wegner wanted counsel from the board.
But before I issue contracts to all of the potential five new hires, I just wanted to have the board have the conversation that this is the direction you would like me to go.
That direction would be to not hire all five teachers. But which positions don't you fill? Currently open are a sixth grade science teacher and a music teacher in the middle school, a first grade and kindergarten teacher at Baranoff Elementary, and a special ed teacher. For the sake of argument, let's say the board chose not to hire a science teacher at Blatchley.
Right now, I don't know that we'd start school on time if that happened.
This is Blatchley Principal Ben White.
We would have to change every single teacher's teaching assignment, every single student's schedule in totality.
Those complications force the board to look at the elementary grades. This is board member Elias Erickson.
If we had to choose to not rehire any of these positions, first grade... First grade would probably be the most likely candidate.
Although Erickson felt that first grade was the logical choice, it's a decision he didn't feel prepared to make without more information. Board member Eric Van Sice was in the same camp. He wanted to see things settled at Blatchley, but it felt impulsive.
I wish there was a way tonight I could say, Ben, you're good to go, those two positions. Let's just, that way you can move forward and get your schedules and get stuff going. You know, that's if I could have my dream, you know, and then circle back on things.
Board member Amy Morrison said there were so many factors to consider that the decision at this stage was beyond the board's expertise. And she asked if the administration could develop a more specific set of options. Board President Jennifer McNichol was willing to call a special meeting the following week for that purpose. She told faculty and administrators present that she appreciated their advocacy for students.
But I think we want to have this be a considered decision and not... It's feeling like more of an emotional decision right now.
Other options for covering the deficit might include cutting secretarial staff or reducing janitorial services, and a very warm winter would help. But none would take a very serious bite out of the deficit. The big money in the district is spent on teaching staff. A two-day furlough, said business manager Cassie Olin, and your deficit goes away. That or Governor Dunleavy releases the school funding already appropriated in last year's legislative session. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
And the Sitka School Board will be meeting in special session tonight to consider options for opening school with unfilled teaching positions. Two Mountaineers, Patrick Fowler of Petersburg and Alex John of Bellingham, can now add their names to a short list of people to reach the top of Devil's Thumb, an iconic Southeast Alaskan mountain. Over the course of 8 days, Fowler and John traversed glaciers, scaled ice falls, and climbed rock faces in pursuit of the 9,000-foot peak. KFSK's Ari Snyder has more.
On a clear day, you can see Devil's Thumb from downtown Petersburg, its tooth-like peak punctuating the rugged mountains and expansive ice fields of the Coast Range, marking the border with Canada. Few people get to see the striking mountain up close, and even fewer attempt to climb it. But for Patrick Fowler, admiring it from afar just wasn't enough.
First saw the mountain when I was in Sitka prior to moving to Petersburg. So from the highest point on Baranoff Island, if you look towards the mainland on a clear day, you can clearly see the fin of Devil's Thumb, and then moving to Petersburg, obviously living at the base of it, looking up every day, you know, that seed was just planted and grew on me.
So Fowler teamed up with Alex John of Bellingham, Washington, who used to work on fishing boats out of Petersburg. Both are experienced mountaineers and rock climbers. After some training expeditions in the lower 48, they started formulating their plan of attack. Most climbers take a helicopter to the traditional base camp located about 6,500 feet above sea level, but Fowler and John decide to hike in, meaning they have to spend days crossing glaciers and climbing icefalls just to reach the mountain. In an expedition of this complexity, every little detail needs to be worked out.
You know, we went as so far as to look at the caloric value of our food and compare it to, you know, other foods and decide, you know, okay, let's bring the peanut butter because it has more calories per gram.
In 1946, legendary mountaineer Fred Beckey led the first team to summit Devil's Thumb. Since then, somewhere around 60 people have successfully reached the peak, though it's difficult to get an exact tally. That's according to local climbing expert Dieter Close, who climbed the mountain twice in the 1980s. After 5 days picking their way across glaciers and through ice falls, Fowler and John set up a base camp below Devil's Thumb. They take a day to rest and also receive an aerial food drop from friends in Petersburg who toss boxes filled with potato chips, smoked salmon, and other goodies from an airplane.
And the only thing that we lost in the airdrop was we had like a quart of whiskey for a celebration, and it blew up in the drop. But the good thing is it leaked out in the snow, and as soon as we walked over, we're like, what is this brown stuff in the snow? And then Alex smelled it and was like, this is whiskey! And then, you know, we still got a couple handfuls of whiskey snow.
The following day, they set off up the wall, about 2,000 vertical feet of rock rising above the Stikine ice cap. After a full day of climbing, they try to get some sleep just below the summit.
So we were basically on probably like a 45-degree slope, where we found kind of a niche in the rock that was just barely big enough to like kind of curl up in the fetal position. So we were still tied into our harnesses, you know, with an anchor and rope, but you know, kind of just worked our way into our sleeping bag.
The next day dawns sunny and clear. The two shimmy up the rest of the ridge to the summit and gaze out across the mountains, forests, glaciers, and waterways of Southeast Alaska and British Columbia.
We waved at Petersburg when we made it to the summit, and it was, you know, we high-fived, and it was a special moment for sure. But yeah, the peak itself, like the very tip-top, is narrower than a horse saddle. Not much of a place to hang out. There's not a whole lot of space up there.
After descending, Fowler and John catch a helicopter ride back to town, where they've since been making the rounds, sharing their story. And, thanks to a string of sunny days, they've been able to look right back over Frederick Sound at Devil's Thumb. Fowler says he's seeing the familiar peak in a new light.
Every little notch in the mountain, you're like, oh, I remember what that feels like and smells like and sounds like.
He and John are now part of a very small group of people who can say that. Reporting in Petersburg, I'm Ari Snyder.
And you can find photos from the climb along with this story on our website, kfsk.org, or visit us on Facebook. A Sitka resident shot and killed a brown bear in his backyard last Thursday after the animal reportedly charged him. The incident occurred in the 2000 block of Sawmill Creek Road, which has seen an uptick in bear activity over the last couple of weeks. Fish and game biologist Steve Bethune says the department received several calls recently, and he has reason to believe all were regarding the same bear.
People are mainly seen at, you know, on the side of the road just doing normal bear stuff, eating berries and just kind of coming and going, and then it began to be more visible, hanging out more during daylight hours and getting into trash, and we even had a gal a couple nights ago who was not able to get out of her car in her driveway because the bear was in the vicinity and wouldn't leave.
Bethune says the bear was small, just under 200 pounds, likely around 3 years old. The bear even caught and killed a chicken from a coop. And on Thursday, a homeowner in the Seaview Heights neighborhood in Sitka called 911 to report that he'd shot the bear in his backyard.
So a homeowner in the area had heard some commotion from his dogs and stepped out, and the bear was in his yard, and it... He described the bear charging him, and so he dispatched it.
Bethune says when someone shoots a bear, there's a bit of paperwork that goes along with it and some physical labor.
Generally, the person who kills the bear is required to skin out the hide and bring that to us. So we seal a bear just like if it was a regular hunting mortality, and then we have a series of we call defensive life and property paperwork that we fill out for that.
He says with the salmon in Indian River starting to run and a strong berry harvest this year, natural food sources are readily available. But even with lots of food, a full trash can still attracts bears. Bethune recommends putting out trash on the day of pickup. And this wraps up KFSK's Midday Magazine. I'm Angela Denning. Thanks for listening. Coming up on KFSK, I'll have the updated weather forecast, community calendar events and announcements. Then it'll be Campus Connection, a call-in show with school officials talking about tonight's school board meeting and other issues going on at the district. After that, it's the Street Beat Show hosted by Ross Nanick III today. At 2:35, High Country with Melina Marvin. At 4 o'clock, NPR's All Things Considered. KFSK News at 4:30. At 5 this evening, it's Alaska News Nightly, news from around the state. At 6 o'clock, it's the live school board meeting. At 9 o'clock, Thistle and Shamrock. At 10, Radio Free Petersburg with Julie Spiegelmeyer. And at midnight, it's the Public Radio Exchange Remix.
Support for this station comes from Hammer and Wecon, ready to assist with home and garden projects with a full line of interior and exterior paints and painting supplies at Hammer and Wecon Hardware. Open Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Sundays, 8 a.m. to 5.
It is 63 degrees outside of the KFSK studios near downtown Petersburg. Here's the forecast for Petersburg. Starting with this afternoon, sunny skies with highs around 70 today. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies with lows in the mid-50s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-60s. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with lows in the mid-50s. Then there's a chance of rain Thursday and Thursday night. Highs in the mid-60s with lows in the mid-50s. Chance of rain on Friday with highs in the mid-60s. Rain is likely starting Friday night through Saturday. Highs in the mid-60s, lows around 50. Saturday night and Sunday, rain showers are likely. Highs in the mid-60s again, with lows around 50. And then Sunday night through next Monday, rain is likely. The Marine Weather Forecast Summary. A ridge of high pressure will remain over the Gulf through Wednesday. A marine stratus layer will persist under the ridge. A weak area of low pressure will develop in the northern Gulf Wednesday and slowly drift eastward. For Frederick Sound, today, light winds becoming northwest 10 knots in the afternoon, seas at 2 feet or less. Tonight, northwest wind 10 knots with seas at 2 feet or less. Tomorrow, west wind 10 knots, seas at 2 feet or less. Tomorrow night, northwest wind 10 knots with seas at 2 feet or less. For Sumner Strait, today, light winds becoming west 15 knots in the afternoon, seas building to 3 feet. Tonight, west wind 10 knots in the evening becoming light, seas at 2 feet or less. Tomorrow, west wind 10 knots, seas building to 3 feet. Tomorrow night, west wind 10 knots with seas at 2 feet or less. For Stevens Passage, today, light winds becoming south 10 knots, seas building to 3 feet. Tonight, south wind 10 knots, becoming northwest late, seas at 2 feet or less. Tomorrow, south wind 10 knots with seas at 2 feet or less. And tomorrow night, northwest wind 10 knots with seas at 2 feet or less. For southern Chatham Strait, today, light winds becoming northwest 15 knots, seas building to 3 feet in the afternoon. Tonight, north wind 10 knots, seas at 3 feet, then 2 feet or less. Tomorrow, northwest wind 15 knots, seas building to 3 feet. Tomorrow night, northwest wind 10 knots with seas at 2 feet or less. For Clarence Strait, today, light winds becoming northwest 15 knots, seas building to 3 feet. Tonight, northwest wind 15 knots, seas at 3 feet in the evening, then 2 feet or less. Tomorrow, northwest wind 15 knots, seas building to 3 feet. Tomorrow night, northwest wind 15 knots, seas at 3 feet. A quick look at outside waters, Cape Decision to Cape Edgecombe. For today, northwest wind 15 knots, seas at 4 feet. Tonight, northwest wind 20 knots, seas at 5 feet. Tomorrow, west wind 15 knots, seas at 4 feet. Tomorrow night, west wind 15 knots, seas at 5 feet. That's it for the weather forecast. Community announcements are coming up next.
Support for news on KFSK comes from Petersburg Rexall Drug Incorporated, family owned and operated since 1969, serving the community's healthcare needs in Petersburg and Southeast Alaska. Available online at PetersburgRexallDrug.com and now on the Pocket RX mobile app for text-based prescription refills available 24/7.
Happy birthday today, August the 13th, to Dave Reamer, Linda Herf, Kelly Vick, and Pete Brantwis. Happy birthday to you all. Registration for new students to Ray C. Stedman Elementary School opens today from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Kindergarten students must be 5 years old by September the 1st. The student's current immunization record and official birth certificate are required for registration. Registration for high school and middle school activities and athletics is taking place for high school students here in Petersburg today at 5:15 p.m. in the Wright Auditorium, Tuesday, August 27th at 6:15 p.m. in the Wright Auditorium, Tuesday, October 1st, 6:15 p.m. in Wright Auditorium, and then Monday, December 2nd, also at 6:15 p.m. in the Wright Auditorium. And for middle school students, that was for high school, so for middle school students, on Tuesday, August 20th at 6:30 p.m. and on Wednesday, August 28th at 6:15 p.m. Sports physicals are required, and arbiter athlete directions for registration are available on the school district's website, pcsd.us. Mikhov Island Alcoholics Anonymous schedule for Tuesday. Today, there is a 12x12 meeting at 7 p.m. in the Lutheran Church Sunday School classroom. For more information about AA, call 518-0061. The Petersburg Science Series presents Diving for Science. This is a hands-on event for kids and adults happening this Wednesday from 1:30 to 3:30 p.m. at the Skiff Float in the North Harbor. ADF&G divers will be demonstrating scuba gear, and participants can explore temporary touch tanks filled with marine animals. Again, this is Wednesday from 1:30 to 3:30 p.m. For more information, contact Sunny, 772-3381. Announcement of aquatic center closures for maintenance. This Thursday, August 15th, the leisure pool will be closing at 1 p.m. and remaining closed until Tuesday, August 20th. Friday, August 16th, the lap pool is closing at 1 p.m. and that will last through Tuesday, August 20th. This closure affects only the aquatic center. The gym, weight rooms, and cardio areas will remain open. WAVE is hosting a wellness practice at the public library on Thursday, August 15th, from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. The free movie night is for those 18 and over, and sign-up is available at petersburgwave.org/events. The Petersburg Borough Assembly meeting that was scheduled for August 8th has been rescheduled for Friday, August 16th at 9 a.m. It will be in the Borough Assembly Chambers. KFSK will broadcast the meeting live. The Colossal Memorial Museum is hosting an artist's reception for Beth Floor's solo retrospective on Friday, August 16th from 5 until 7 p.m. The show will remain on display through August the 30th. This Friday is Steak Night at the Moose Lodge from 6 to 8 p.m. for Moose members and their guests, with dancing afterward featuring DJ Lou Dog. There will be a kayak camping trip for girls in grades 7 through 10, Monday, August 19th through Thursday, August 22nd. The cost is free. For information and to sign up, call Becky or Ashley, 772-3332. All food and supplies are provided. This is a trip to explore Castle Islands and Duncan Canal, and providing instruction on safe sea kayaking with the Forest Service employees. The Petersburg Medical Center's Master Plan Design Team will be holding a public forum in Assembly Chambers on Monday, August 19th at 6 p.m. The public is invited to bring comments and questions to the forum, where the design team will be sharing preliminary findings and discuss next steps towards visualizing the future of healthcare here in Petersburg. And stay with us. Campus Connection is coming up. We have school district officials here to talk about education. That'll be happening after Fish Radio.
Underwriting support for KFSK comes from Homeport Electronics, offering Homeport's managed computer system, affordable full system monitoring from your own virtual technician, providing daily scans, maintenance, and updates to keep your PCs and laptops healthy. For businesses, home offices, and personal computers, from Homeport Electronics on Main Street, 518-0899.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. State chamber positions are at odds with coastal members. But are they paying attention? More after this.
Grundon's new Deck Boss slip-ons, sandals, ankle highs, and boots are good for your work and good for your feet. Deck Boss boots. See the lineup at grundon's.com.
Coastal communities, businesses, and fishing groups that belong to the Alaska Chamber of Commerce are not part of the conversation in determining its advocacy positions. The state chamber claims 7